The FPL Pod crew are back to support each other and you after a disappointing double. We discuss if free hits the way forward for blank game week 26 and offer up some Jota replacements with a word of warning. Hello and welcome back to your weekly dose of We Lost to Jules. Yes, normality is resumed. Hello to that man, Julien Laron. Hello.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, everyone. Such a sweet game week again.
Yeah, sweet. One word for it. Welcome back to Ian Irving.
Rubbish, wasn't it?
Rubbish. Welcome back to Sam Bonfield, all the way from Orlando.
Hello, Kels. You all right?
Yeah, what time is it there, mate?
It's 5 a.m.
That is commitment. Commitment to coming on here and being abused by a little French man.
I don't know why I agreed to this. I could have just had a couple of weeks off.
You could. You should, maybe.
So it's the end of the double game week. And I'm going to be honest, as soon as we all logged on to this call this morning, Ian said pretty much what he said just now.
Rubbish, wasn't
it? Why? Again, for the third time this morning. It wasn't rubbish.
It was.
But my response to you before this recording was, Ian, we'll never learn, will we? Every time we get so excited about double game weeks, this is what makes FPL so brilliant. We think, oh my gosh, Erling Haaland's going to get 30 points. We're going to triple captain him. He's going to get 90 points overall. City, all our attackers are going to return. Even Nathan Aki's going to start both matches, I wish. Ivan Toney's going to score against Liverpool and Man City. So I'm going to take a minus four for him. Yes, I did that. None of it ever happens, does it, Ian?
It did once, didn't it? Do you remember?
We're clinging on.
Do you know, I actually thought this was going to be a really good double game week because it was Manchester City, because it was Liverpool. I felt like I was in a good position going into it as well before the Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Please, can we keep that in as proof that it was so bad that Ian can't even say one of his players that got injured's names?
It was so bad, I don't even want to talk about them and pronounce the names correctly. With the Trent Alexander-Arnold injury, before that, I think I had about seven going into the double. In the end, I mean, one start for KDB, for Aki, for Robertson, a half for Darwin, less than that for Salah, less than that for Jota. Adebayo didn't even turn up at all. I mean, and all the injuries as well now as well. It's not just the fact that it impacted the double game week. There's now, you know, question marks over De Bruyne with his hamstrings. Doughty went off injured. We don't know about Salah and Darwin. I mean, it's one of the most disappointing double game weeks ever.
It's a monologue of pain, Ian, that is.
I was going to say, Sam, now you're next up to get everything you want to off your chest.
So my game week was actually going brilliantly until the two double game week fixtures. Had it just stopped on Sunday night, I was like, this is great. Really great green arrow. I mean, I still had a really great green arrow. And then I checked Jules' score and it really wound me up again. Because of course, like I was going to, my plan, as I said, like 3 weeks ago when Jules did bring in Rodri, that week I said my plan was to have Rodri for the double game week. And then Pedro Porro, my favourite Spurs player, not at the moment, decides to get himself injured, which meant I had to deal with that as an issue rather than dealing with my midfielder issues. So couldn't then get Rodri because had to deal with Pedro Porro. And then, of course, I bring in Ake, who doesn't start in the second game where Man City actually keep their clean sheet. So I got 96 and a lovely green arrow. However, it still feels like a nightmare because a certain Frenchman amongst us decides to do better again.
I was going to say, actually, let's just give some context to this. You'd come on and you'd think that we'd all triple captain Nathan Aki or someone like that.
Oh, yeah.
When actually, we all did do pretty well. It's just unfortunate that one of us did better than the rest.
Tell me about it. I finished
on 86, 90, but I took a minus four, a stupid minus four at 10:59 again.
86, it's not bad.
If you listen to this podcast regularly, you'll know that I've got a real obsession. It was my new season resolution not to do it, to keep taking these late hits out of fear. I did it again and it didn't work. Finally bought in Jota after weeks of wanting him. So I'm the reason he's now injured. I finished on 86. Sam finished on 96. Ian finished on 89. So it's not that bad. And let's also remember that we did triple captain Erling Haaland and he did actually return. I mean,
it's got to be seen as a fail though, Kel. You can't.
It could have been a bigger fail though. For watching those games over long periods, I thought he's not even going to get one here.
Yeah.
It just felt like one of those weeks. So when he actually scored in the end, I was like, we've got away with one.
We didn't triple captain him for him to get loads of points. We also did it because everybody around around our ranking did it. So you had to do it, really.
That's the thing. I still don't regret it because everyone else did it.
Yeah. You might if Dominic Solanke goes off in game week 29, though.
Don't mention that man.
Game week 28.
Yeah, but nobody around us is going to triple captain him anyway.
No, so but that's why it's annoying, Jules, because It would have been such a great rank booster, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but Sam, you could have triple captain Kevin De Bruyne like you were thinking
of
doing.
Which I very nearly did. Yeah, exactly. I very nearly did. And I tell you what, so obviously we were in a theme park when that team news broke and I was like, oh my gosh, where's Kevin?
And I love that she calls him Kevin as if he's a mate.
He's my best friend. Yeah. He is my best
friend. Where's Kev? Kev, where are you?
Where are you, Kevin? Why are you not on the team sheet? And then I looked at the defence and was like, where's Ake? This is just a nightmare. And then decided to just ignore the game entirely. So I didn't then check it again because it wound me so much. I was so annoyed by it that I was like, I just can't. I'm going to ignore this game's happened until right at the end of it. And then I'll check the score.
I know that we were rescued by that goal for Haaland in the end against Brentford, but he did set a record in that Chelsea match of recording the highest XG in a Premier League game this season, 1.71.
That's no good to us, Ian.
Yeah, but it was just ridiculous.
That was frustrating. It was so bad to watch. It was really bad to watch.
Record-breakingly bad.
Also, just a quick word on Alfie Doughty. I got quite a lot of abuse in the WhatsApp group a few weeks ago for not bringing him in. Oh, I resisted that overwhelming temptation and I missed out on his wonderful performance against Sheffield United and 1 point, Ian, in your double.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, we'll let Jules have his moment. We'll let you have your moment. You did have Alfie Doughty.
Alfie Doughty. It might be Alfie Doughty now if he's injured, yeah.
Yeah. Poor old Pedro. Actually. Despite that, you had Rodrigo. Our WhatsApp group also went off when Rodri scored.
Listen,
it just sums up your season. Jammy.
What do you mean?
He only did it because I said I was going to do it as well. That's what annoys me. That is not true.
Listen, you look at this Man City squad. And who was guaranteed to start the two double game week matches? And there are not that many names, really. There's Edison and there's Rodri and there's nobody else. Not even Kyle Walker, not Erling Haaland back from injury.
No, let's be honest. You just couldn't afford Kevin De Bruyne.
No, that's not true.
He did this because that's what I said three weeks ago on this pod, that he's the only one that's guaranteed to play.
De Bruyne, I could have done for Foden the week before, like I explained, didn't do it. And then there was no point doing Kevin De Bruyne after snubbing him for keeping Foden in. Really, Rodrigo was the only one guaranteed to start. More than KDB, more than Haaland, with Ederson, really. They were the only two. So I thought he's good. Sometimes he pops up with a goal. Otherwise, he gets you a clean sheet and 3 points.
I'm so annoyed about this.
Maybe some bonus points.
Why are we calling him Rodrigo? Only his mum refers to him as Rodrigo, by the way.
I called him Rodrigo because I was reading
she
off
knows
the
him well. She knows him well. But like his mum, she knows him well. But to be fair,
he is my child, yes.
I shouted, I celebrated his goal so much that probably even all the way to Orlando, you could have heard me.
Honestly. So annoyed I was by that. That was the thing that annoyed me the most about this game.
What
week.
A player. 13 points is by far my best player of the game week.
Congratulations. Just a few stats on game week 25. Then it was actually record breaking. There were more triple captain chips than ever in a game week. 1,577,305. So 1,577,301 other people celebrated that one goal, but I think it just shows we did it out of fear and it was still good that we did do it. There were also more armbands handed to one player than ever before as well. Haaland, 1,332,615. The next most triple captain player in game week 25 was De Bruyne, not Sam, 84,130. So yeah, absolutely remarkable figures. And there's lots of you, I'm sure, listening to this, feeling the pain and maybe a little bit of relief as well. Just a word on the single game week players, because we said you can't sell Saka ahead of the game week. They were rampant once again against Burnley. 15 points for Saka, 14 points for Odegaard and 12 points for Havertz. It's all clicking at the right time, isn't it, Jules? Do we need to be looking back in their direction?
Yes, only in the league, because in the Champions League on Wednesday night, it was not as good, obviously, in a very tough game. But in the league, the last five games have been incredible. If you had owned some of those Arsenal assets in the last five games when they scored 21 goals and a 5 win, of course, you would have got a lot of points. And I'm not so sure again about Havertz, but Odegaard, we mentioned him a few weeks ago, and he's clearly back to his best now. Even Martinelli, to a certain extent, despite the fact that with Havertz in the team as an eight, I think that takes a lot away from Martinelli's own game. That's why I think he's having a bit of a difficult season. But Saka is just remarkable, the form that he's in. And I did think quite strongly about bringing Salah for him, simply because of the double game week kind of fear that we talked about at the start of the show. And in the end, I was glad I didn't.
Yeah, same here, actually. What a brilliant 15 points for him. I only wished I had more Arsenal players. As I mentioned, I brought in Ivan Toney. I sold Dominic Solanke. Yep, I know, terrible move, especially when Solanke has a double on the horizon. The only relief for me, Sam, was that I didn't sell Ollie Watkins. 13 points for him. But he was actually the third most popular transferred out ahead of the last game week as well.
Yeah, and I think you do sort of get some double game week fever, because I seriously looked at very last minute getting Toney in instead of Solanke and was just like, I can't sell him. And then I looked at Watkins and was like, I can't sell you either. But it was the hardest thing ever to just sit on my transfer and not panic and get a double game weeker instead of a single. So yeah, the likes of Watkins and Solanke finding their form again at the moment, and you know, going into a double game week for Solanke in 28, suddenly he's looking like a really important asset to have. So for those that have sold him, he's going to be a priority buyback, I think. Now, maybe it's an easy route back if you've got Darwin, of course, but if you haven't, then you're going to need to find a way to get him back in again ASAP.
Jules, is Darwin to Solanke something you're considering, or are you still going to try and cling on to something there?
No, I'm going to free hit this weekend anyway. So,
oh, of course.
Yeah, that's not a problem. But I think it's a fair point. If you have Darwin and you're not free hitting this weekend, it's a very easy swap for Solanke. Although it's a tough game this weekend, but on a longer term, I think it'd be good for the double game week coming up. They're still in good form, and he will score more goals between now and the end of the season. There's no doubt. So, if you're a bit fearful about who they face, I mean, the game at the weekend, obviously against City, then that's fair enough. If you still want to bring him now, in the view of the double game week and the easier weeks to follow, then for sure Darwin to Solanke is a very easy swap.
Ian, I asked you a while ago on this pod about Rasmus Højlund and if we should be considering him. It certainly looks like he's really settled in at United now. He scored in the sixth Premier League game in a row. And watching him against Luton made me think that maybe the only reason we wouldn't have him in our team is because Haaland, Solanke and Watkins have slightly longer term form. But should we be considering him?
Yeah, I think definitely if you're in Jules' position and you're looking at playing a free hit this week, Rasmus Højlund is a brilliant option. Manchester United have got Fulham at home, and his form as well. He's the first Manchester United player since Cristiano Ronaldo to score in six consecutive Premier League games. He's the youngest player in Premier League history to do that as well. He's absolutely full of confidence. And this happens a lot when there's double game weeks going on. We look away from single game week players who have got great form and good fixtures as well, and then moan about it afterwards. So I think, yeah, ahead
we
of...
We don't moan. What are you talking about?
Probably spent the first 10 minutes of this moaning. But anyway, in summary, yes, I think Højlund is a very good option for this week on free hit, and potentially someone that we're going to be considering in the final part of this season as well. I mean, if Manchester United were to be beaten by Forest in the FA Cup, Højlund becomes a brilliant option now because the fixtures are great for United.
You know what's crazy is that in the weekend, when Haaland didn't score, despite all those chances that we mentioned against Chelsea, pretty much every other number nine, as in proper centre-forward, scored. Darwin, we mentioned already. Watkins, we talked about. Solanke, Awoniyi, Munoz even scored. Højlund scored, we just said. It's crazy that the one that the most gifted of all of them and the best of all of them blanks, everyone else, every other number nine, at least got a goal. It's crazy.
It's typical. That's what it is. It's just FPL double.
Even Danny Welbeck scored, didn't he?
Yeah. Toney as well. Like literally every other number nine but Haaland.
Of course. Okay, well, we'll talk about blank game week 26. I'm trying to move us on. We're going to get a bit more optimistic from this point in. Otherwise, lots of listeners, our stats this week are going to say that after 5 minutes, everyone just was like, I'm not listening to them moaning anymore. And they switch off. A reminder of our mini league then. Jules got 1 point off 100, as we've mentioned, but thank goodness he didn't actually get into the 100 club. Another green arrow, just 24 points off the top 1,000 now. What is your official position as it stands, Jules?
3,700 in the world.
Very nice. I had a tiny red arrow. Thanks, Sam, for writing the script tiny. I just
it was
put
tiny.
Arrow.
It was so it was. Tiny.
It's
basically a grey, Kelly. It's basically a grey.
Yeah.
But red. After, like you, after the first games, I was on a green arrow. So
I know, yeah.
Thanks to KDB and Aki and Pep Guardiola. I'm 2 points away from the safety score in the green arrow, though. So I was only just on a red, but a red nonetheless. Sam, back to back. Also, I've just realised if I didn't take the 4-point hit, I would have had a green arrow. Oh, this just gets worse. I'm off. Sam had back-to-back green arrows. A 31% rank rise, 2 points outside the top 100,000 now. Ian, back on the pod and back on the green arrows. No coincidence, is it? Nearly 16% off the overall rank, and you're up to 273,000, just 12 points off the top 200,000. It's going all right.
I think that's my highest rank of the season. I'm just going to have a quick check.
I mean, you started at 1,500,000 or something. So
10 million something, I think.
Ian was bottom when he joined. Ian, I've got to be honest, this doesn't make great audio, so just maybe let us know later.
Well, you all just started talking while I said I was going to check. So if you were quiet, they'd have just edited that out. But anyway, officially, it's my highest rank of the season so far. So yeah, I should be happy.
We'll take that. Nice. That's us. We'll
congratulations, but don't
well
settle.
Done, everyone.
Don't settle.
It's all a team effort. It's always a team effort.
As for the FPL Pod Mini League, Itai holds his spot at the top of the league. He picked up 111 points this week with the likes of Virgil van Dijk, Akanji, Kelleher, Alvarez and Haaland all doing well for him across the double. He's now got a 22-point lead over Amir, who's in second place. Now, the top four managers in the league all hit 100 points in game week 25. So massive congratulations to all of those. Anyway, on to blank game week 26. What do you want after a double? A blank to navigate. I thought I didn't have too many players missing. Now I've got a big headache with the likes of Stupinian and Aki not playing. What am I going to do?
Will
I don't
play.
Know. Yeah,
don't worry about
it. I think
him.
He will. As for Stupinian, well, what a transfer in that's been for me over
honestly,
the last few weeks.
You broke him.
I did. I broke him. I broke Jota. I broke the game. so this week, no fixtures for Chelsea, Liverpool, Luton, and Spurs. This is, of course, because the EFL Cup final is on Sunday, and that is Chelsea taking on Jurgen Klopp's side. There's also, as I mentioned, a couple of heavily owned assets from other sides who might not play. I mentioned Estupiñán. He's a big worry. Ian seems to think that Aki will play, but now, of course, no Jota. He's injured. So basically, Charlie Taylor's going to get the call up for me.
Go on, Charlie Taylor.
I think he's going to get the call up from a lot of managers.
Yeah.
But it does mean, Sam, we're in a sticky situation, aren't we, a lot of us?
Yeah, I mean, I, apart from Estupiñán, actually have a full 11 because I sold Pedro Porro last week. No, but I don't love them. So I'll be using my transfer to just try and make the team better. I'll sell Jota and get somebody different. But I think there will be a lot of managers like yourself, Kel, that open their app and go, okay, I've got five players not playing. Maybe I've got somebody like an Estupiñán as well who may or may not get minutes across that match. And I think you just have to be kind of cautious going into it because it would be very easy to take multiple points hits and to just go, right, well, I'm going to rip my team up entirely. And maybe that's the right thing, given the injuries that we've got at the moment, actually is to go, right, this is the right week to take that hit, particularly if you target in on players, I don't know, maybe like Brentford, who then still have the fixture in game week 29 as well, because you're putting yourself in a position where that future-proofs your team as well as just sorting it out for this week. And I think there'll be a lot of managers that were planning to use their free hit in 26 that actually then might look at their team now and go, maybe I can get through this without using the free hit and keep the free hit for a bit later on.
Jules, you're very much team free hit though.
Yeah, I think so. I've got five players not playing. And it's not
that many, Jules.
No,
you can get away with that.
Just that. It's the thought process, I think, is if I get a really good score with the free hit now and bank all those points, considering the position that I'm in, and I can keep climbing up, I would rather have those points in the bank now and putting pressure on all the people around me instead of maybe having a game week where I don't use the free hit. Maybe I only have 9 players playing, maybe 10. We take it to -4. And then if that's a very average game week, then my ranking is going to go down. So I'm thinking because the momentum is quite good right now, maybe if I got another good game week, and usually the free hit will help you with that because you can just cherry pick whoever you want in the easiest fixtures or somebody who has the momentum like Haaland that we mentioned, all of that, you would hope you can have a good game week. And then that means keeping climbing up and keeping that momentum going. So I think that's why I think the free hit makes a lot of sense, certainly in my situation right now.
Jules, what if you have a bad game week with your free hit? What happens then?
Then we all celebrate.
Yeah, then you all be happy because you're all going to jinx me anyway. I know. But and on the other hand, you can also play 9 players or 10 players and have a really good game week still because your players might return.
You hit the right ones, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I would rather try to keep that momentum going and get all. It's a bit like when you've got games in hand. If you're playing, if you're a player or your team or whatever, I would rather have the points right now than waiting for a game in hand at some point And the free hit might come useful, of course, for a lot of people, like Sam said, later in the season, but it might also not. And then I think I would have been happy to play it now when really I would need to take a -4, maybe -8 as well to have a decent team.
Ian, what about you? What's your plan for this game week? How many players have you got?
I'll have 11, yeah, probably with one transfer. I don't think taking a -4 is an issue at all.
Agreed.
If that's the position that you're in to get a good 11 out, you know, by all means, play the -4. I think even if you've only got about 10 players, I think it's okay. You know, I won't be taking hits for people who are coming in who you're really unsure about. If it's, like Sam was suggesting, if it's a player who's coming in that gives you the ability to cope with the next blank as well in game week 29, then I definitely don't think there's any issue with taking a hit. But that said, you know, like we'll talk about, and like Jules has sort of teased a little bit there, there is the option to get in players this week who have got good fixtures, who have got good form, who aren't very well owned. And if they go off, then that is going to be a really, really successful cocktail for your free hit. The only thing it'll do, it'll leave you quite susceptible when there's the double game weeks later on in the season, which will be quite big double game weeks, I'm sure, with the way that the FA Cup's going, that you're then going to miss out on being able to play your free hit. So you've just got to weigh it up. I think if you're in Jules's position and you're thinking of playing the free hit because your team doesn't look great and you're going to have to take hits to get to a side that you're going to want. I mean, if you're looking at your side and you've got literally six players playing, definitely play your free hit. There's no question about that. But yeah, it's interesting. The last few weeks have been great. There's been lots of different ways to play it. There's been lots of variation. I think that'll be the case again this week. So, you know, it's brilliant for FPL that there's many different ways to do it.
Sam, you sounded surprised when Jules said that he was playing his free hit with the number of players. I think he's got five missing, hasn't he? What is the kind of benchmark or the point where you think that managers should be tipped over the edge to play in their chip? What's the minimum number of players?
Well, the thing is, I think if you've got five not playing, in reality, that's only a -4 away from a whole team, isn't it? Because, yeah, you know, one free transfer, you should be -4, and suddenly you've got a whole team, particularly if you're selling players like Jota and Darwin, who we don't even know if they're going to be available heading out of the blank game week and into the next few games. Well, with Jota, we don't, but Darwin, we don't know about yet. So I think, for me, if you've got 10 without a hit, then you're fine. I think even if you've got 9, if you've got the right 9, then you're probably fine to just play through with 9. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world. And I think, you know, later on we'll talk about free hit teams, and I sat down and I wrote one. And when I looked at it, there's actually not that many different players that I really want to the players that are currently in my team going into this week. So if I free hit it, I'd still have most of the team that I currently have existing. And I think that's the key. If you look at your team and you think, okay, I'll free hit, write the free hit. If you've still got 6 players that were in your existing team, is there any real point in playing the free hit for 1 or 2? You might as well just make that change.
Jules, you've actually got 6 players missing as well.
I can't count.
I know that you're big on your planning, mate.
How are you 3,000 in the world?
Just
you
get
can't
the other
count
hand out
players
and you'll
you've
be
got.
Able to like work it out.
I know. The change of time for this show is messing up with my brain.
The
like,
editor
really.
Better keep this bit in. Do not get
unbelievable.
Rid of this.
Yeah, it's 6, not 5. So
and
I'm
6
in the
outfielders as well, aren't they? That's the other issue for
and
you.
And also the others are Senesi, who plays City. I've got Rodri, who really I only brought in for the double game week because I knew he would score. And, you know, and one is Saliba against Newcastle, which would be a tough game, even if Arsenal might be favourite at the Emirates. So it's just not looking like I would like to. So that's why I'm thinking about the free hits.
Come on then, Sam, you teased it in your answer to me before. Everyone now is screaming at their phones or wherever they're listening to this on saying, who's in your free hit, Sam?
Okay, so I wrote a squad of 15. I mean, it's going to have bench and headaches written all over it, but hey, that's me this season. So I've got Jose Sarr and Mark Flecken as the two goalkeepers with a back 5 of Gabriel, Reguilón, Aitnori, Dalot and Anderson at Palace. And then the midfield, double up of Brighton with Matoma and Gross, Pedro Neto, KDB and Saka. And then up front, Haaland, Watkins and Tony. That's going to cost you $97 million to build that free hit team. So you have loads of money in the bank.
Oh, Haaland, Watkins and Tony is my front three.
Whoa. Exactly. And Kel, that's my point.
If you have a free hit, Haaland has to be in it.
Well,
I'm sorry.
So I thought that when I was writing mine. But then who do you drop of those three?
Tony.
Haaland is at home as well. He's just scored in 6 games in a row. You can't. Brentford are away at West Ham. West Ham are not good, but West Ham will have a super defensive team like they always do.
Tony will be the one that hurts you then, Jules, on your free hit.
Come on then, Jules. I
want
to hear your free hit. Let's see how it compares.
So I've only gone for 11. Like, you know, Yeah. Screw the 15. I've got Jose Sain goal. I think Sheffield United, no offense to Sheffield United, Cameron Archer, Brighton Diaz, and there's a lot of injuries and everything. The back three would be Saliba. I like Pau Torres at Villa Park against Forest, and Anderson, again, home game against Burnley. So that would be the three. In midfield, I fancy Neto again at Sheffield United. He was outstanding against Spurs, and we mentioned it before. And by the way, I remind you all about Buonanotte and Neto in the differential. I think I would go for KDB.
Going to him now, are you?
Yeah, enough. On free hits, it's easy. One of the Brighton boys, whether it's Gross, Adingra, who'll be my differential this week, or Mitoma. Saka, and then I'm still not sure. I think Newcastle are going to be very defensive at the Emirates. And I think the defeat at Porto might have hurt Arsenal a little bit psychologically. So not too sure about Saka, and then Hoyland, Haaland and Watkins for the front three.
Okay, Ian, you aren't playing your free hit, but if you were, you have written one just like Sam.
Yeah, mine's quite different actually, to be honest.
Good, makes a good podcast.
Yeah, I've gone for Ederson in goal because I feel like Manchester City's defensive performances have not always brought the clean sheet that they should. Pep Guardiola was speaking in his press conference before the Brentford game about the fact that their defensive performances at the level has been so high in terms of the number of chances that they're conceding compared to the number of goals that they've conceded, which seems to be about one a game, doesn't it? But just signs lately that that's getting a bit better. So I've gone for Ederson in goal. A back three of Gabriel, Aitnori and Dalot. I think Manchester United against Fulham is a good fixture. I was surprised that Sam didn't pick any Manchester United players. I've gone for an Arsenal double up in midfield as well. I just think Newcastle have been so poor defensively in recent weeks that is an opportunity to get something different on the field. A lot of people will own Saka. Not many will have Saka and Odegaard. So I've put him in. You could go for KDB like Jules has done. But Pep Guardiola did say that the reason he didn't even warm up during that game in the week was because he's got niggles with his hamstring. So I'd keep a close eye on what Guardiola has to say in his press conference about his situation, because he's not guaranteed, I don't think, to play in that Bournemouth game. If he's not available, it'll be Phil Foden for me. I've actually gone for Hwang over Neto just because he's likely to be on penalties. And he gets the big chances that Neto doesn't. I mean, Neto's probably better for assists and perhaps he's been a little bit more consistent, and obviously he's been performing while Hwang's been away at the Asian Cup as well. But I went for him instead of Neto. Garnacho's my backup midfielder, and maybe I've talked for too long already, but I think Manchester United against Fulham is a really, really good fixture, mainly because Paulinho is missing for Fulham. And Fulham, as a team, defensively, are completely different when he's not in the side. So with Paulinho, since the start of last season, they've had 56 games, they've conceded 73 goals at an average of 1.3 goals per game. Without Paulinho from the start of last season, he's missed 7 matches. In those 7 games, they've conceded 21 times. That's an average of 3 per match. So their defence is double and more worse without Paulinho. So that means Hoyland's in my front three, along with Watkins and Haaland.
Sam, any concern? I know you aren't actually playing this free hit, about no Man United. And can you understand why Ian is, as well as being a Man United fan, so strong on this?
Yeah, to be honest, when I wrote that free hit, I originally had Garnacho and Hoyland both in there and then was like, actually, I don't think that I would want to leave out Tony given the way that he was playing. I mean, I did write this before the second game of the double game week. So maybe there is an element that he could be Hoyland. I think it would be very hard not to have a free hit team that had any Manchester United in it at all, which is part of the reason I had Dalot in there defensively. But Garnacho makes absolute sense.
My apologies, Sam. I didn't realise that. Sorry.
So I'd definitely have Dalot because I think the fixture is really nice for Manchester United. And I would expect a clean sheet as well in that one. So I had him there. But I do agree with you. I think having either Garnacho or Hoyland or both does make sense. And as someone who's not free hitting this week, that is a transfer that I'm potentially looking at, is going from Jota down to Garnacho, because not only does it free up a load of money, which I could use really well elsewhere across my team, but I think moving forward, Garnacho makes a really, really nice pick.
Yeah, he does make an interesting pick. He's someone I've been looking at as well.
He's got 32 points in his last 3 home games as well. You know, he scored twice against he scored twice against West Ham last time out at Old Trafford. He's been sort of drip-feeding away assists. He got a strange assist, didn't he, with that chest goal from Hoyland at Luton last week. But at home, he's really flourished of late. I think, again, there's different ways to go with a free hit. I mean, between Sam Jules and I, we've picked, you know, a lot of different players there too. So again, that shows you that it could be a really interesting week to play the chip. The one thing you want to keep in mind is the popular players that everyone else is going to own this week who aren't playing free hit, and being careful, having a little bit of insurance against the likes of, say, Ollie Watkins and Bukayo Saka, that, you know, they're really highly owned. You play a free hit, they're not in your team, they end up doing really well, and it completely undermines you playing that chip. So just be careful with that as well.
Yeah, Jules, it sounds like from your free hit, you've been kind of aware of that. Going to play Saka, it sounds like, and Watkins as well.
Yeah, although I do think it won't be easy for Arsenal at all. And like what Ian said, I would not double up in midfield because I just don't think they're going to score many goals in that game, unfortunately. But it's a very valid point for all the highly owned players. Even if you play a free hit, just keep them in mind and keep them in your team.
I think the Wolves, when we talk about the fixtures, I was kind of jotting down where most of your players are from. The key fixtures we're targeting really are Man United, Fulham from the Man United point of view, Bournemouth, Man City for the Man City point of view, Arsenal, Newcastle, looking at more Arsenal, and Wolves against Sheffield United. An interesting point there from Ian about Hwang over Neto, because lots of people, I've seen a lot of people talking about Neto. They're both really low owned. As it stands, Pedro Neto, 4.4% owned, and Hwang Hee-chan is just 4.2% owned. Neto, though, 0.2 million more. And the stats, Neto has been shooting and creating at a higher frequency than Hwang. Hwang has 12 big chances, Neto has 2. Hwang could be on penalties. If you do bring in either of those players, though, they could blank in double game week 29. So again, Sam, it goes back to when you're picking these players, if you're free hitting, it's absolutely fine. But if you're bringing them in, you do have to be mindful of 29 ahead of us.
Yeah, and I was at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Saturday for yet another defeat. I seem to be a jinx whenever I go this season. But I was really impressed by Wolves. They were really impressive, particularly on the counter-attack. And Neto really, really impressed me, as he always does every time I watch him live. So he was a bit of a no-brainer on a free hit. But you're right, Kel. Like, in terms of bringing into my team, I obviously have to think really carefully, because if you aren't free hitting this week, the transfers that you use, and you're not planning to free hit in the blank in 29, the transfers you use now have to make sure that your team is ready for that blank game week in 29. Otherwise, you could end up with more difficulties further down the line. So I'm kind of looking at my team and thinking players like Neto, even Garnacho to a certain extent, because I don't know yet, and we won't know until after the game week 26 deadline, what game week 29 is actually going to look like. It's targeting the right team. So Brentford actually make a lot of sense for me to target this week, because they play, and they play in 29. Spurs would have been a target for me this week had they got a fixture, because obviously they play in game week 29 as well. But I can't do that because I need the players to play this week as well. So I think it's just one of those things, Carlos, you're absolutely right. You just have to be aware of what your strategy is, and then make sure as best as possible you're using your transfers to not just prepare you for now, but to prepare you for the future as well.
On the topic of midfielders, the reason I highlighted Neto and Hwang is because this is also prevalent for people, and a lot of people have a Diogo Jota-shaped headache in their team. And Jules, when you come out of this game week as well, after your free hit, you're going to have that issue as well. Who would you be looking at bringing in for Jota? I know those two Wolves players are an obvious replacement. Anyone else?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think all of us at some point will try to bring Mo Salah back in once we know about his fitness, and once we know that he's certain to be a starter again and at the level that we saw him on the game of his return, really, for example, then I think it's a no-brainer that everybody would want Mo back in their team. It's just how you get there. Obviously, Jota to Salah could be done, but you need a lot of money in the bank to be able to do that, or you sacrifice someone somewhere to make that a move available from Jota to Salah. So for me, this is the one where you need to work towards to bring Mo Salah, because really, we should know very soon now. I think it was precautionary that he didn't play in midweek. He will play in the League Cup final on Sunday, and then hopefully for him and Liverpool, he'll be ready to kick on after that and be available for the next Premier League matches. And in that case, then it's Salah really that you have to bring into your team.
Ian, it's such a good point, isn't it? We're kind of saved by the fact that Liverpool aren't playing this week, but surely we're going to want Mo Salah back very soon.
Yeah, it's good this week that he's not playing, because we've got this uncertainty about his fitness status. You know, even if he isn't injured as such, the reports seem to be that he's got, you know, an element of fatigue in his hamstring still, which is a concern. I mean, I look at Luke Shaw and what's happened with him at Manchester United. You know, he came back after a long hamstring layoff, and he struggled with it ever since. And now it looks like he's out for a long time as well. Kevin De Bruyne obviously had that horrendous setback at the start of this season, having been out for months with a hamstring injury and then getting another one. And obviously Guardiola then saying this week that he's also got some niggles in his hamstrings. So hamstrings are really, really, really tricky muscles because they can relapse, like we've seen, really easily. So I think that Liverpool are going to have to be careful with Salah. Salah's not the type who wants to be careful. I mean, you saw him off the bench straight away at Brentford, goal, assist, bang, and everyone's like thinking, oh my goodness, we need this guy back. So I think this week's good because it'll give us more information about his fitness status. We can see what minutes he gets in the EFL Cup final, and then we'll have obviously more information after that as well with Jurgen Klopp's press conference around the FA Cup and all that sort of stuff. So we've got a couple of matches. We've got probably four press conferences. We'll have much more information to then be able to make a proper decision on Salah. The only issue is he's got Nottingham Forest and then Manchester City and then another blank if Liverpool win in the FA Cup. So it might not be a great time to bring him in either, just to stir the pot even more.
Okay, well, I'm sure that will be a conversation we'll be continuing in the coming weeks, especially if he goes and scores a hat-trick this weekend in the EFL Cup final. Moving on, though, because we're running out of time. Differential of the week, a reminder, under 10% owned. Jules, you picked Connor Bradley. I mean, he got 4 points, and in a single game week, that would say, yeah, you got a return, but it's actually just 2 points from each match. But
I know you've got to be unlucky. But what I would say, before you mention the others, as Sam always says, you know, a player is not for just 1 week. Your differential is not, it's a bit like a dog. It's not just for Christmas, right? That's what you're saying. Your differential is not just for 1 week. I'm just saying. So, but I noticed since I picked him, have been great. 7 points again last weekend. Neto has been great with the 5 points and the assist against Spurs. That's all I'm just saying. Maybe I deserved an extra point there or there for, you know, the past differentials.
Jules, it's called differential of the week.
I know, but it counts if he's the week after. That's what I'm saying. Remember the dog.
All right, it's just not for
Christmas.
I'll think of dogs when I'm making my transfers. Sam, Nathan Aki, 2 points. Didn't feature in the second match. We can move.
It's even worse than Bradley, that.
Yep.
So annoying when the clean sheet came in the second as well, right?
Ian, on a high note, Andy Robertson, 6 points. Didn't start the second match. It still wasn't a huge success, but he did at least come on and get an assist.
Yeah, I think in this game week, like we were saying at the top of the podcast, a disappointed double game week. 6 points is actually okay, isn't it? He got a return. That's all that matters to me. Yeah.
Go on then, Jules. You've already revealed you literally every week, you know you have to wait to reveal your differential, but you reveal it within the first 5 minutes anyway. So come on, remind people.
So I picked Simon Adingra from
Brighton. Oh, what a surprise. We didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know, you see. Because it was outstanding against Sheffield United, obviously against 10 men for most of that match. But I think the win in AFCON with Ivory Coast would have, I mean, boosted. Just imagine for such a young player as well to go away with the national team and win this incredible competition would boost you and bring so much momentum and energy and everything. They play Everton this weekend and they will have Fulham and Nottingham Forest. He scored 6 goals in the 14 starts that he had in the league. He touches the ball a lot in the opposition box, 6 touches per game. He scores 0.44 goals per game so far this season. So I think he's an outstanding player. He will start because De Zerbi loves him. And again, Brighton seems to have recovered their best form. They played really well at Spurs. Okay, they didn't win it, but they played really well there. They played great against Sheffield United too. So I think Adingra could be a really good differential.
Okay, Sam, who have you got?
No, I'm going to stick with Brighton and go for Pascal Gross, who's been absolutely incredible for me in the last couple of weeks. I've got him in my actual team, Jules. Come on now. He's got returns in all of the last three game weeks, 11, 10, and then 8 last week. In fact, he's been really unlucky in that time not to have got more FPL points than he has. And particularly as a Pascal Gross owner, I've been kind of like, come on now, Pascal, let's have a few more points. He was 7th for XG underachievers in game week 25. So really, he should have had some returns in that one, some goal scoring returns anyway. 8 chances created in game week 25 as well, which was the most across the game week, including the double game week players who obviously got 90 minutes more than he did. So I think nice fixture this weekend. I totally agree with everything Jules just said about Brighton. Pascal Gross, hopefully he's going to bring me some actual FPL points as well as some differential points this week.
Shall I remind you of how much you were cursing that transfer in initially?
I know, right?
Didn't you bench him when he got 25 benched, points or something. Yeah.
I benched him for the first of those 11 points, and then was going to sell. So my original plan was to sell him for Rodrigo last week. I don't know what I'm calling Rodrigo now as well.
Rodrigo
in the app. That's why
I know he is. But he's still got eight. And so, and you know, Pascal Gross going into this week, really, really nice fixture, and actually looks like a long-term hold, to be honest now.
Ian, go on.
My differential this week has 11 attacking returns in 11 home appearances so far this season. He's only blanked in one home game. He's got 5 goals, 6 assists. He's 5.6 million, he's 3.6% owned, and he's facing Nottingham Forest, who only have kept one clean sheet since November in the Premier League.
Is it Leon Bailey?
It's Leon Bailey.
Yes! I was going to say Ollie Watkins, but obviously Ollie Watkins is not a differential.
No, he has been so good at Villa Park this season, and those attacking returns have come against very tough sides as well as the teams that you'd expect him to do well against. In fact, the blank came against Sheffield United, which was a really disappointing match for Aston Villa just before Christmas. Other than that, he's returned, whether he's started, whether he's come off the bench, he's just been a great asset at Villa Park. So, yeah.
Just to let you know, I had him as a differential earlier in the season, and the girls, I don't think you were on the show, the girls laughed at me. Literally, they laughed at me. And he returned that weekend, so I'm just saying.
Do you know what?
We always laugh at you, Jules. Yeah. This is nothing new.
I think I was on that week as well. I think we thought he was injured, didn't we? Or I did.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you went on. Yeah, yeah, but he wasn't, and he returned. So you all laughed for nothing.
Yeah, because you were picking an injured player.
No, I knew he would start.
Guys, he lasted 45 minutes the next game, but still got an assist. He's
been so good. Extra points for Buonanotte and Neto.
No, absolutely not.
Right, who are you captaining for this game week? Gosh, I have to keep this podcast on the straight and narrow sometimes. who are you going for, Sam?
Well, weirdly, my busting captain's on Saka. I clearly feel more positive about Arsenal's chances against Newcastle than Jules does. But I just look at that fixture and the way that Newcastle have been defending and the way that Arsenal are attacking, and think Saka could be a really, really good option. Obviously, there's Haaland against Bournemouth, who is always a good option. And I do fancy Ollie Watkins as well. So I'm a bit undecided, but at the moment, it's on Saka.
Jules is not going to be captaining Saka. Who are you going to have with your free hit team?
I mean, I'm not sure. Yeah, exactly. I'm not really sure. I like Hoyland at home to Fulham, I won't lie. And again, because not many people, I think, will have him in their team, I think it could be a nice captain differential in a way.
Yeah, Ian's nodding along.
Yeah, I mean,
you haven't got him, have you?
No. I was talking up Manchester United's chances against Fulham earlier. So yeah, if you're going to go different to the field, why not pick someone who's in form, got a good fixture and barely anyone owns? I think I'm probably going to captain Haaland, to be honest. I think I'm going to be boring and just go there again. Obviously, he got just the one goal across the double game week, but like I mentioned before, he was still getting the chances. And a player of that quality, Pep Guardiola said, criticise him and he'll shut your mouth. So don't captain him and he'll shut your mouth. So yeah, I think I'm going to go there.
Yeah, same for me as well. Okay, then transfers, Jules. We've heard your free hit.
Yeah.
How set is that free hit, would you say?
The guys made a good point about Dalot, to be fair. But apart from that, I like my the one I prepared last night, the one I mentioned, and just pick one of the Brighton boys and then decide what to do with KDB depending on what Pep Guardiola says before the game.
Yeah, okay. So a few decisions still. Yeah. Sam, what about you? Just the one transfer?
Yeah, probably. I just can't decide what way to go with it. So it's either sell Jota this week and come down to a midfielder. But the trouble is, the midfielders I would like either don't have a game this week or don't yet have a guaranteed fixture in game week 29. So what I could do is get rid of a Estupiñán, who is driving me insane, and instead get Reguilón, because I know that then I've got a playing defender. He's got attacking returns potential, as we saw in the double game week. And then I've got him ready and in place for game week 29. So I might do that and just hold Jota for this week, not because I'm expecting him back, because obviously he's out for a while yet, but because that means I can use that midfielder slot better next week when I know exactly who's made it through in the FA Cup and therefore what game week 29 looks like.
Yeah, that's the sensible thing that I know I should do, but I know I'm going to do Jota to a Wolves player and just... hope they play in game week 29. Ian, what about you?
Similar to Sam, actually. The transfer I'd like to make is Jota for someone, but I don't know who that someone is.
Someone sounds good.
Oh. he's just joined on deadline. so the move I will make is bringing Ollie Watkins back for Darwin Nunez. That's definitely happening. I've got the option to take a -4 to remove Jota, but like Sam says, the people I think I want haven't really got either a good fixture or a fixture at all this week. That would mean if I did that, I could bench Solanke against Manchester City then as well. So I think it's just the one transfer.
Benching Solanke feels like a bit of a problem though, Ian.
Well,
we were talking about ownership before.
He's really been believing what Pep Guardiola's saying though about Manchester's
defense. Don't forget, someone with no Haaland, you know, before in the season, with no Watkins currently. So, you know, him and strikers this season is a bit special.
I'd only bench Solanke if I took a -4 for Jota. So basically that whole recipe doesn't sound very good. So one transfer, Watkins for Darwin, and that'll be it for me.
Yeah, it sounds like a nice transfer. Jules, best of luck sorting out that free hit team.
Thank you.
Best of luck playing it.
It'd be exciting. It's also what we play to make it really exciting.
Ian, hit the button yet? You hit it yet?
Of course he hasn't.
No, I mean,
hit it on Friday night, Saturday morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
I take my time. You know, I have to listen to press conferences first. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, planning. It's all about planning. If you want to be as high as me in the world, just plan. Plan carefully.
End this.
Long-term planning.
Here.
Mid-term planning if you want. Short-term planning too, as long as it's planning.
Jules, good luck with that free hit, kind of. Sam, it is 6:04 a.m. Is that right in Orlando?
That's right. I'm going to go wake my kids up and make them go and ride some roller coasters with me because I'm very excitable.
So if you have heard any noise in the background while Sam has been talking, it is because she's recording in reception. And we've seen all kinds of people in high vis with probably what looks like breakfast being prepared behind her. But yeah, excellent commitment
to the
pod. Good. Well, you go and enjoy your breakfast. Ian, enjoy the rest of your day. You're going to be popping in to see Pep and asking the all-important questions?
Not on Friday. No, I'm doing that show for you, Anna.
Oh yeah, sorry about that. Let's hope someone else is in that press conference and asking the all-important FPL questions is all I'm saying. Okay, well, enjoy that. You can catch the fantasy show on the app at some point on Friday. We'll also be on the various TV channels around the world. Don't have a clue when, because this podcast goes out around the world and I don't know every single station's schedule. The FPL Pod Mini League code, as you must know by now, is IB3WLK. Your deadline for game week 26, a little bit later this week, 1:30 p.m. That's 90 minutes ahead of the 4:03 p.m. fixtures on Saturday. Off the Bench, we'll also be back on Tuesday. Az and Praz, what a duo, will take you through the key talking points from game week 26. And as always, we'll be back next week. The recording time for us guys, I'm going to say this because I joined an hour early, Jules joined late, Sam's joining in the middle of the night. We're recording at 10 to 11 next Thursday, which means we'll be on your feed at some point on Thursday afternoon. Have a good one this game week, guys. See you soon. Bye-bye.